Hey y'all, you're listening to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with all those who had a glow up and all those friends who'll show up. Let's go.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
All right. So what's up with you?
Not much, not much.
I don't know if we can keep this on pod, but I found out today one of my friends is...
Why couldn't we keep that on pod?
It feels weird, I don't know, to find out this way.
Oh, I'm happy to announce Luke, prior guest on the podcast, is having a child.
With his baby mama.
With his baby mama, who he's also married to.
Yeah.
I love it when a baby mama and a baby daddy stay together.
Mm. So Luke's having a baby.
Yeah, he's a...
former guest of the pod.
I don't know if he actually knows if it's going to be a girl yet, because he said it's due... she's due December.
Mm. That's early to know.
And I was like, yeah, it feels early to know, but maybe he's one of those people who's just like, we were doggy, so it's going to have to be a
Wait,
girl.
Wait, you just stole my joke from the phone. That's what I said over the phone. We can't have conversations on the phone and then you steal my joke later on pod. That's ridiculous. That's ludicrous.
Okay, and I'll steal this other joke you did over the phone. So y'all know the difference between black people.
No, that was not me. That was not me. He ain't got the records. Yeah. Former guest on the pod, Luke, younger than us. Baby's having babies. That's insane. But, you know, good for him.
Good for him.
He, you know him from work. He's got steady job as a career as a code monkey.
Oh, you know, I really don't know. I feel like we talked about work a lot, but I'm kind of a bad friend, apparently, because I do not remember.
Didn't know Phil's birthday either. Have you thought about taking over the third mic for Bad Friends, the podcast?
Yes.
No, because you refuse to work with Bobby Lee.
I actually do, but despite those people being like adjacent to annoying podcasters,
yeah,
I do like Bobby Lee and
Andrew Santino.
Santino,
yeah, Santino complimented me on one of my jokes. That's all you have to do to get into my good graces.
I probably don't hate the Roganverse as much as most people. I do think like a lot of people are a little too quick to be like, but you're affiliated with somebody who's affiliated with somebody. You're trash. But like,
you signed to a person that signed to a person that.
But. Of the people who do annoy me, they're definitely not in that class. They kind of steer clear of becoming, like, weird ideologues.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Lee annoys me because that's his personality. I was never a big MTV kid, so I didn't really know him from, like, when he was endearing, supposedly.
He is that type of, like, self-conscious where it's, like, if you see maybe a couple of his bits, it's like, oh, this guy is, like, very open and forward about, like, getting to the bottom of conflicts. But then it's like, if you watch a ton of his stuff, you're like, this guy's way too open and forward. Like, hold it back sometimes. You don't constantly have to ask people why they don't like you.
What do you mean? Him pooping himself on Hot Ones wasn't hilarious? Him being like, oops, I made a poopy. Sorry, Sean Evans.
Have you ever seen that clip of him on CO Vaughn, where CO Vaughn keeps bringing up China and Chinese things, and he's like, he just points out to CO, he's like, every time you talk about China, you look at me. Do you think I'm Chinese? It's a great clip. It's so funny.
That's pretty funny. See, that's funny. I don't know. That's not too open. Is he still married to a supermodel or did they break up? I can't remember.
I think there was some sort of drama. Was she a supermodel?
I don't know. Or was it just one of those general, like, guy who's ugly but a comedian has a hot wife and he makes it part of their personality?
Yeah, I think you thought she was a supermodel because you saw her next to him.
That makes sense. Yeah, it was the... Well, I actually don't know if I've seen her. I just thought that's what I heard.
She was a big part of his podcast and stuff. Yeah, but
yeah,
I think there was some sort of breakup where that podcast... Tiger Belly, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Why are we talking so much about a podcast? We don't talk about podcasts, and we especially don't talk about Roganverse podcasts.
We are podcasts.
Yeah.
That's what happened one time. One time I was at a party with Megan Fox, and she said, you smell like podcasts. And I said, I am podcasts.
Oh, dude, I hate to break it to you. She kind of misremembers that story.
Wait, what did she say?
First off, she makes you a way taller, skinnier, kind of bitchier kind of dude.
Colson Baker?
Oh, that wasn't Machine Gun Kelly that said
that's his real name.
Damn, you hit me with the Machine Gun Kelly legal name. You mean his parents weren't just eccentrics?
No.
What was his name again?
Colson Baker, I think. Something
so
like
Kelly
that.
So Kelly is not a part of that at all? Like, I just kind of assumed.
No, Kelly was also a gangster from, like, the, you know, Al Capone eras.
Oh, this is like a Teflon Don thing? Like, there was a historical Machine Gun Kelly? Like, that's what people called a certain gangster?
Yeah.
Oh.
I've got some news for you about Nipsey Hussle.
Every day. What? Not Nipsey.
Well, I've got bad news besides his name, too. Also, yeah, about Nipsey, if you're worried about him. Yeah, anyways, what's been up with you?
Not much. I went camping this week. Well, not camping. I stayed in the mountains. We rented a place.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while since we recorded. Yeah, you've gone glamping over the long weekend.
That was really fun. I think we've talked about on the pod before how I'd never been, like, river tubing. I'd only been strapped to the back of a boat tubing.
Oh, that one's scarier. River tubing's way more fun.
I think it was just more accessible in Lexington. Like, a lot of families had boats and tubes.
I have bad memories because I was strapped in with my brother once and we flipped upside down for a while we were tubing and I didn't like that.
Oh, damn. Otherwise, you didn't wear the life jacket where you just let go?
I don't know what... Maybe we were strapped in together. Maybe that's what it was. It was a real, like, the opposite of having someone parachute with you or whatever.
I always had a good time.
In general, it's pretty fun, yeah.
But first time I floated a river, which is a lot more casual activity.
Yeah, that's way more of a beer drinking activity.
Yeah, it was much more my speed. It was really fun. Had a great time. Not too much to report on. Shenandoah, we did some hikes, or one hike. Yeah, it was a fun weekend. How about you? What'd you get up to?
Was there variation in how seriously you guys took the hike? Like, was someone actually in hiking shoes versus someone just wore what they wore every day, or like...
Yes, Ben didn't bring boots, so he was just in his regular shoes. Oh, but two people on horses were doing the same trail. Which,
nice.
I guess not the end of it, because the end of it got really steep and, you know, horses couldn't do it. But it was like going down rocks. But they
were just looking down at the horses like little bitch ass horses. You couldn't do this.
But a lot of poop to avoid since they were ahead of us the whole time.
Yeah.
A lot of fresh horse dung.
I've been there before.
Yeah, shout out to Yoda and Shodi, where I think the horses' names we did stop and talk with them a little bit.
And yeah. The horses talked to you. Cool.
How about
Anything
you?
Else?
What'd you get up to? If you want to jump into media roundup, I can do.
Sure, you can do both. What you got?
Oh, this is just a general recommendation if you're interested in learning.
Do we talk
more
about friendship
about...
on the pod?
Oh yeah, sure. We can talk about it again.
Oh, okay. Oh, have we already talked about it on pod, or did we?
Yeah, I gave my breakdown last week, but we can talk about it again.
Okay. Well, I also really liked it. That's all I gotta say about it.
The other thing was, I think you texted me about this. That's how it came on my radar. Maybe I saw it on Twitter. The Jordan Peterson Jubilee video.
Yeah.
I only watched like the clip everybody was like posting when you search it. Did you see
that
one? The
kid that bodied him?
Jordan Peterson, I've ranted about this on the podcast before. It drives me insane when somebody tries to argue by immediately being like, we have to go to first principles to find that word, especially when the person was like, so do you believe in God? And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, do you think there's like an all-knowing, all-benevolent creator of the universe? And he's like, define belief. And it's like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, how, what is somebody supposed to do if that's your format
you
for like
so much
debate?
More bass to his voice.
Oh yeah. Define belief. He was angry. He was weirdly angry at the kid. I was like, the kid's asking pretty basic questions that don't even seem like he's trying to catch you. He's just like,
don't be a smartass now.
Trying to define a baseline. Mm-hmm. And then what was the other thing he did, which was...
He refused to identify as a Christian in a 20 atheists versus one Christian video.
And then his main thing was, if you believe something, it means you'll die for it after asking the kid to define what a belief is. And it's like, okay, well, clearly you know a different English language than me if that's your definition of the word belief. Like, you're right. Yeah. I think it's stupid when people ask for hyper-specific like definitions during a debate of like simple words. But like, maybe we do need to just define every word with you if that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just hate that like... that debate style of being like, what is knowledge? Like, just immediately making everything like, what is it, epistemological? Like, it's just like, we have to define what even knowing anything means before we can figure out what our differences are.
It's almost like a postmodern take on debate.
What's even going on? Ooh, don't say that about JP. Come on now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're going to make baby boy cry.
All right. All right. That's true. I don't want to make him cry. He's already experienced so much pain in this world.
I know dunking on Jordan Peterson, whatever. Who hasn't done it? It's not like our podcast is going to move the needle on anybody, but like, god damn, what a moron. What an annoying, bitchy moron.
Yeah. I still remember the time when I was at Drip with Justin and some dude bro grad student that he knew was talking to a girl about Jordan Peterson. And I think we were a couple tables away, but I said something about Jordan Peterson being a crypto fascist. And later when that guy came up to talk to us and he was like, well, what do you guys not like about Jordan Peterson? Justin was like, yeah, he's into crypto or something, apparently, Adrian said. That really made me laugh.
Hey, and we routed it all back around to somebody who I'm really proud of, Luke, who I also accused of being a crypto fascist.
After the episode
on the pod.
That was our takeaway from his episode.
And he was very tickled by that. I think it was the first time he heard it. He was like, crypto. He seemed very tickled by that word. He was like, ooh, I like that.
I like one of them Paul $5 words.
Love you, Luke. You're going to make a great dad. We're proud of you.
Honestly, I'm jealous of that child. I wish I was your daughter. Yeah, I had a few things. Let's see. Oh, shout out to our fusion food episode. I passed by a place in Midtown the other day. Omakase por favor.
Ooh.
Out of my price range, but apparently it's a Mexican-Japanese fusion place. So I've always got that on the lookout now ever since that episode.
I would love the idea of it being omakase, but for only Mexican
food. Oh, like
food.
Tacos? Like, that would actually
Japanese.
Be really dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like, this one is like a beef tongue mini taco.
Ooh.
And it's just like you get a bunch of like little
That's
tacos.
That's actually a great idea. Yeah, no, they do have Japanese food on their menu, and they have a sake sommelier, so they're definitely doing like a mix of both. Let's see, what did I want to talk about? I had a lot of musings, but I don't know if they're worth talking about. It's been so long. We had a pretty crazy distro yesterday. We had to have someone go out and buy hot dogs that we just served without cooking. They're technically, you know, safe to eat or whatever. But like, yeah, we had double the amount of people that we prepped for. So it was a real busy one, but it was fun. It was a lot of new faces. I did have one guy come back to me at the end and he was like, hey, I know I was late, but, were the hot dogs originally cooked? And I was like, yeah, we didn't expect this many people to come. That's our bad, man. Apparently there's a miscommunication with how many they were giving out at the beginning. But yeah, we got a lot of new people coming out. So that's fun. And then lastly, what's up with, you know, like Saudi Arabia, where people are always talking about Saudi Arabians? Is that what they're called if you're from Saudi Arabia?
Saudis, I think.
The Saudis, right. Okay, because there's always these people talking about the people who are like living under a rock. And I'm like, why are they just talking about Saudi Arabia all the time?
Oh, Iraq sounds like a rock.
What do you mean? It's Iraq? The country's Iraq.
This just feels like that middle school joke where somebody's like, I ran to Iraq. And it's like, okay.
Hmm? What do you mean? This isn't a joke. This is me wondering around. People are always talking about Saudi Arabians.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, that was a mystery that I was trying to solve, but I haven't gotten to the bottom of it yet.
Okay. Let me know when you figure it out.
I'm working on it.
Cool. Do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah. What do you got for us?
We're doing befores and after, which...
Yeah. Which I didn't really think about before this.
Yeah, I just realized as I said it. What do I know?
Infomercials? Which is another episode. We'll talk about that later, as seen on TV.
Have you ever seen one of those breakdowns where they show you the people who they use for the before and after, and it's like a guy... Who's like, you know, he works out really hard in the morning, takes the after shot, and then he drinks like a gallon of milk.
It's just water weight or whatever?
Yeah. And then just tries to look as gross as possible for the before shot right after.
They like do the bad lighting shot. Or whatever, do a bad posture pose. I feel like when I was growing up, the conspiracy was always that it was just two people who looked similar but had very different body shapes.
I guess it could be either. Or maybe it's real. Maybe
I mean, no,
P90X.
Your thing definitely sounds more like it's definitely a thing. Like, there are people on TikTok who do that, right? Or whatever. They're like, yeah, this if I do this lighting or whatever and I suck my belly and I look like this.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, just because one person proved that you could take a convincing before and after shot doing that doesn't mean that they actually did that regularly for infomercials. I don't know. Like, I've seen a video where they're like, this is how they lie to you, but it's like, just because it's possible, I don't know if that's proof that that was like the industry standard for before and after shots.
Because I feel like for a lot of weight loss before and after shots, in real life, the main thing people tell you is like your face is where you see it. It's like your neck and your face is like where the big dramatic things happen.
Which, by the way, I have lost 12 pounds at this point. Can you see it? Am I looking skinny?
Yeah. I can tell. The intermittent fasting is working.
Before and after. How about your brother's like a, he's a workout guy, right?
Yeah.
When did that phase hit for him?
He got into CrossFit when he was married.
Did you notice like a substantial, like was that something where you were like, oh yeah, that's like, he was like a skinny guy and he became like a buff guy? I remember my brother, it was kind of like that. Like in high school, there was a point where it was like, oh man, this guy's kind of a twink. And then like a couple years later, it's like, oh, this guy's strong.
No. My brother was a big boy. My brother went from big boy to small boy to muscular boy. He had to cut and then build back up.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah. I mean, I once he went off to college, I would see him at most like once a year. So a lot of those differences are pretty big. Or I remember that happened one time where like I saw him after he had been gone for a while to college. And my parents were pointing out the fact that I had lost some weight that year. I think it was the year I got into P90X or something like that. And he was like, honestly, you kind of look the same. I don't know if you gained weight and then lost it, but like you kind of look exactly the same. And I think that's like the intervals with which we saw each other.
Also, you were growing up. He could have at least taken that into account. Like,
yeah, I stopped growing after like fourth grade.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah.
Your brother's like a tough critic.
Yeah. You know when he was going through his own health journey, I'm sure.
He was like, Mom and Dad, you could talk about me a little more. Well, Adrian's a star. Adrian's always got to get all the glow.
Well, I was there with them every day. He'd left them. He'd abandoned them. When you see cousins for the first time in like 4 years or whatever, and they have something to say about your before and after.
Oh, yeah. A lot of my cousins, my mom's side is much bigger, and it's so funny to be like, oh, yep, that's my mom is the one who I got the balding from, because every time I see somebody from my mom's side of the family, yeah, it's like another domino fell. Another baldy has hit.
Oh,
has
hit another baldy has hit the building? Damn.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any men left on my mom's side of the family with hair.
They're bigger and balder?
Bigger?
Yeah, you said bigger. My mom's family is bigger. Oh, you mean bigger in terms of
like there's
more
people? Cousins on that side to compare against.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
On my dad's side of the family, I only have one male cousin. He still has all his hair.
Damn, all of it?
All of it.
Sheesh. Yeah, that was a big one for me. More than my... I guess that's kind of a nice thing to not have cousins that want to talk about your body. I had more of like, they'd be like, oh, Adrian, your hair's so long and curly. We're going to call you this now. That's a lot of what I got when I saw my cousins.
Okay, infomercials. Were you ever... When you are a kid, it is like the P90X commercials are very compelling. As a child, you're like, what?
I saw Paul Ryan. I was like, damn, okay.
What was it always like? How it was always like 6 minutes a day. What was the amount of time you were supposed to spend on it a day to get the results?
No, that was a different thing. P90X was still like 30, 40 minute workouts. The thing that they did is they took interval training and they flipped it on its head. That was my critique of the really hard one was like the... isometric, I can't remember what it was, but it was like, it was the one where you're just jumping around for an hour. And I was always like, yeah, of course that works. You're literally just jumping around for an hour. It hurts. Yeah. I torrented those videos when I was in high school. I didn't give any money into the pockets of big P90X.
It also, the other thing with the whole like, oh, they're faking the before and after, it's like, I mean, it must have worked for somebody. Is it that hard to find
to
a guy
find
who
the
did
five
it?
People that it worked for? Yeah, that seems to make sense. I mean, Subway only had one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You lost so many calories jerking into those. Never mind.
The problem is they didn't have any really big pants, the P90X people. The other before and after, the best part of every home makeover show, of every home renovation show.
Move that bus.
Move that bus. I loved that shit as a kid. That was crack for my mind. I loved catching the end of Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
I didn't do too much of that. I didn't do a lot of Queer Eye. I didn't do a lot of Home Makeover. I think what I see nowadays are the ones where it went wrong and the person's trying to hold back tears because of how much they hate it. Love those.
You love those.
Love those. The internet does, at least.
I guess it's the reason it's so compelling to a kid's mind is the kid's room is always like, and we took their stupid little room and turned it into a rocket ship that actually works and they can go to space now. And they have a slide from their room right into the kitchen.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that, about how I had some before and afters with my room. I think because Dorley and I switched at one point, I can't remember why, but also because our parents were fine with us painting them different colors if we wanted to. So my dad would like let us pick out a color and he'd paint our room a new color if we wanted. So I think mine was maroon at some point, which I always thought that was like, I don't know, this is the comparison of parenting styles where my little neighbor, like up until like she graduated high school or whatever, had to like negotiate with her mom on being able to put posters up in her room. And I was like, what is just let her have her room. What is this? She's like, you're allowed one wall where you're allowed to put decorations up. And I was like, did she put a deposit down? What are we worried about?
What else has before and afters?
Well, we didn't end up doing this for the third segment, but new look, same great taste.
Oh yeah.
Apparently it started by Pepsi. Pepsi was the first one to do that.
And I guess we're not doing this as a third segment, so we can reiterate this point. I think we've talked about in other episodes, which is, man, it's depressing the fact that like apps have had on branding where everything went from like really colorful, intricate like pictures to now everything's like a flat graphic because that shows up best on a app
and a
screen.
Lowercase letter and a flat graphic.
Oh, yeah, the fonts are just all, like, exactly the same at this point. There's no, like, silly or fun fonts. I mean, it was kind of our fault as a society. We made fun of Comic Sans too much, and the brands went, okay, we get it. You don't want silly fonts. It's like, no, you know what? I'll take it back. I take it all back. Give me the silly fonts. Give me some personality.
That's one of those backlashes that I had where I think people who care too much about Comic Sans are particularly annoying people. What was it? It was like a BBC article that I read like 10 years ago where it was a couple that got together over their shared hatred of Comic Sans. And it's like, well, then just kill yourselves. What's the point of this?
Hey, they seem like interesting people. Do you think they still talk about it daily?
Yeah. Have there been any big renovations in towns that you've lived in or anything like that? I think our Lexington downtown area has gotten a big glow up since when we were kids. The little Ice House Amphitheater. All the
every
new stuff
southern
there.
Town is like that, right? Every southern town now has like two or three breweries and like a couple cute like bookstores downtown, and it's like, oh, it's so different than when you were last there. And it's like, yeah, it's different, but in the same way every place is now like that. So I don't know. I'm not that amazed by the fact that Rock Hill has a couple things now.
Oh yeah, they have that little French pastry shop or whatever.
It is nice. I'm glad that all these towns have places for people to go now, but it is funny when people like oversell it, and it's like, I've been to all those sorts of cafes and little knickknack stores.
No, you don't understand. We have a brewery that does like wood fire pizza, like in an actual wood fire oven. It's pretty cool.
That is compelling.
Yeah.
I mean, even like small towns, I think, are basically about to start getting food halls at this point. So, does Lexington have a food hall yet?
I don't know, but I don't think so.
I want to be able to go to Lexington and go get dumplings while my friend goes to get like a 1950s style diner burger.
Oh,
all in one building. That's a dream. That's how I'll know Lexington's made it. I need to go to a really weirdly expensive stationery store in the same building as well. If I can't, I'm out.
Roasted. Yeah, burnt.
Yeah, burnt.
Get him, Paul. Other befores and afters. Yeah, and then any makeovers, any big fashion changes that you know from people doing stuff?
No, that kind of gets into my column, which is about glow-ups.
Oh, okay. My column's about people coming out as trans, so that's very obvious before and after, yeah.
Which one
actually,
do you want
to
do
first? It has something to do with someone actually coming out as trans and then kind of changing back to more non-binary. But yeah, I don't think we need to tell any stories about our friends who came out as trans, so I think we're good. All right, yeah. You want to get into your column?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Adrian, so this is an advice column we haven't done before called Mixed Feelings. It's a Substack blog, and I guess it's written by Chris Gay Molly. So I'll just jump into it. I don't know.
He's gay on Molly?
Is that how you read people's names?
Yeah, that's what that's what their family trade was. Being mixed gay on Molly.
That's, My dad was gay on Molly. My grandpappy was gay on Molly.
His father before him.
The About page got mixed feelings. Mixed Feelings is a newsletter dedicated to exploring the intersecting worlds of mental health, obsessively online culture, and fandom. Cool.
Yeah,
I'll just jump right into the question.
Hey, why don't we do that?
Dear Mixed Feelings, I'm doing quite a lot of things to glow up, but I feel like I'm not doing enough to be the ideal man. Feels like everyone around me still looks better than I do. Butterfly 45, he, him. Signed by somebody named Butterfly 45.
He, him.
Oh my god, this is a long answer. Oh god, I made a mistake.
I mean, sometimes you can put diamonds on a turd, but it's still a turd. You know, wait, that's a horrible answer. Why would I be so mean to that person?
You know, I don't know Chris Gamoli's, like, attitude towards these things, but ideal man, I don't want to do a Jordan Peterson, but I think you've really got to define that. What's an ideal man to you, Butterfly 45?
The Giga Chad Iranian dude.
Oh.
Well, the picture for the advice column doesn't look like the Giga Chad guy, but...
Well, how do you feel, Adrian? Are you getting into retinol or anything? I'm not really doing much other than trying to lose weight to turn myself into an ideal man. What are you doing lately?
My stuff's more like, what's the word? Internal health and functionality more than how I look. That's where my effort's been going to.
I feel like Chris Gayamoli will agree with you on that, right? Like, his whole thing is the intersection of mental health and culture.
Oh, yeah. Where did you see that that intro? I didn't read it.
I went to the About page.
Oh, okay, okay. So, intersection of culture and what?
Fandom and mental health.
Mental health. Well, he's probably going to say something about not comparing yourself to others. You're comparing yourself to what you looked like yesterday, I guess, or whatever. That's got to be your milestone.
But does that help people? If you're interested in glowing up, usually it's like you're trying to make yourself a more, like, admirable person.
Mm-hmm.
You want others to be like, damn. You don't want others to be like, damn, he looks a little bit better than he did yesterday.
That is part of a glow up, right? Is a glow up is like, oh my god, you've lost so much weight. Not like, wow, you're skinnier than that badass dude over there. No one says that for a glow up.
Sure, but I think people, when they are thinking glow up, it's like, you're a beautiful butterfly now, not you're just a little bit better looking than you were. He's already a butterfly. Butterfly 45.
He doesn't list any of the things that he's done to glow up. That makes it really hard to give you advice on what else you should do. Is your assumption that this is driven
romantically? If you actually are 45, I feel like you're never going to become like... At age 45, you're never going to become like straight jacked. You know what I mean? Like, if you haven't been ripped before, you're not going to hit the gym and become like a Giga Chad. I think that's kind of out of the picture by age 45.
You don't think if he was like a Hollywood actor and he just got a role in The Eternals, he couldn't do it?
Ooh, how old has... the oldest ones of those been? How old was Kumail when he did it?
36.
Hmm.
That's just a total guess on my part, by the way. I have no idea.
That seems about right. Maybe. I don't know. Okay,
I guess we've got to look internal. Realistically, for someone who that isn't their internal job, or their entire job, yeah. Yeah, so do you assume this is completely romantic? I mean, for you and I, our glow-ups right now are more internally motivated than, like, that kind of thing, but you think this is a romantic thing?
Well, something doesn't have to be romantic, but I think most people want to be admired by others, even if it's not like I'm trying to fuck. You're still trying to be like, oh, like glowing up is a part of like becoming, like looking like a...
You don't think it's just like going to like a high school reunion?
Man, that type of stuff, whenever you hear people being like, oh, getting ready for like beach season, I'm like, man, that comes around once a year. And it's usually like people are thinking about that 3 months beforehand. What can you do in that amount of time? Like, I guess you can lose a little bit of weight. And
yeah, I think people who are in like dad bod shape can do a lot in 3 months if you really focus. Or if you're like me, I'm getting ready for beach season 2045.
I guess clothes. You can always like. You can always queer eye, right? You
up
can
your
always
style.
Like,
yeah,
yeah.
Be just up your more skincare. Start putting on moisturizer. Start using a daily cleanser.
Do you do any of that?
I have a face wash, but I don't. And then I have lotions that I put on, but I don't actually do that much to my face.
Me either. And it's one of those things where I wonder if it's as it becomes more common, I'm gonna look like an old man way before everybody else our age.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone's going to have a young-looking penis because they masturbate with lotion, but you're going to have an old man penis.
My biggest fear.
Unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. So you got those kind of things, doing your hairstyles or whatever, doing a new, like, goop in your hair. Figuring out more clothes that you can wear that up your style. Getting one of the subscription, they send you clothes, you send back whatever you don't want things.
Does that help? That seems like throwing money at the wall. I think, I guess if I was trying really hard to glow up, I would have to get the hair surgery thing, but ain't gonna happen.
I'm just gonna toupee.
A toupee would ruin me. I would always be self-conscious that people know I'm wearing a toupee.
Really?
That would destroy my confidence.
Oh, you think that would be the issue?
Yeah.
Not that if you were like, if you ended up divorcing Izzy and you had to like date someone new and they're a cancer patient and they don't have hair and you're like, I couldn't date someone who's bald. And then Elaine goes up to you and she's like, you're bald.
That is a real fear of mine.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I heard this really relatable story from Lauren Lapkus the other day. You know when Elaine does that thing in Seinfeld where she tells Jerry, like, get out and like pushes him really hard?
Yeah.
She told a story about when she was like 12 years old, she tried to do that to her dad because she thought that's what funny people do. And she just pushed him in the stomach and he was like, ow, that hurt. And she was just like, that's so relatable. Like trying to do something you saw on TV as a kid because you think that's what funny people do.
That does fit into my goal of becoming friends with Julia Louise Dreyfus.
JLD. You know, if you become the Rizzler, you get to meet her.
He met
her? Dethrone. Yeah, he met. Yeah. Have you not seen the picture?
No,
it's
that's
so
not fair.
it's such a funny mix of like neither of them know who each other are.
Could you imagine if he was like big fan of your work on Veep?
No, see, this is another one where you're doing a really bad impression of the Rizzler, because I saw him like he was on like BR Football or something doing a little short video about some soccer tournament that was happening and how excited he was to be there. And you just forget how young he is until he's like, hey, I'm the Rizzler and I'm really excited to be here at the Saudi World Cup. And it's like, what is going, why are we doing this to this kid? What is
it
wrong
is kind
with
of
us?
A sad situation, right? Like, he's not gonna be famous into his teenage years unless he really pivots.
Well, dude, what if he has that juice?
If the what Rizzler if is still famous in a decade, that would be incredible. More okay, so clothes. You can definitely start dressing better. Although the problem with dressing better is, as people have often pointed out, there's that weird in-between phase when you can tell somebody's trying to dress better, but they're only dressing worse.
Things.
Yeah.
Mm. Did you, were you part of that comment section on Kid Cudi showing up to the Diddy trial?
I saw that people were like, he's not a snitch. And it's like, yeah, of course not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. It's him smoking a cigarette with like a white shirt, black leather jacket and jeans on. And half the people were like, damn, that looks cold as hell. And the other half were like, he looks like Joe Camel. He looks like literally like the cartoon camel on the cigarette.
And the cartoon camel looks cool. I don't.
And the cartoon camel looks cool as hell. But, yeah, two things can be true at the same time.
So you could improve your posture. Like you said, if you have like something internal to yourself, whether it's like a medical thing that you've been putting off that you just need to handle and get a hold on,
yeah.
I guess part of being an ideal man is
don't have multiple sclerosis.
I mean, I guess a part of it is like, right, you want to be like a Renaissance man. You probably want to like take up hobbies that people think are cool. Like you want to know how to, I don't know, change a tire and like learn all the...
Yeah, yeah, everyone's favorite hobby, changing tires.
Car.
You gotta subscribe.
Car. Repair car maintenance. Car maintenance is a hobby.
I would call changing a tire repair more than maintenance, but maybe, I guess if you're just putting on a new tire. Then you gotta subscribe to one of those bespoke boxes that gives you cocktail kits and axes.
I feel like our advice to turn this person into an ideal man, we might be creating the most obnoxious human of all time who's just subscribed to who's subscribed to all the boxes. He gets his clothes in a box that's shipped to him. He gets his
skincare.
He gets his like weird axe that he'll never use to actually chop wood shipped to him in a bespoke box.
He gets his four obscure cinema movies. Cinema movies.
Oh, is there a Criterion box where they send you films every month or something?
Hey, he's subscribed to Mubi.
Obviously you're gonna want to impress women on dates, so you're gonna want to learn about wine, so you're gonna have to get one of those wine boxes. Learning to cook a good steak, that's very important to being a man. You're gonna want to get one of those steak boxes.
Is that more European coded? I think wine coded from American men is you're supposed to be a whiskey guy, unless you want to give Euro sensibilities.
Okay, a different bottle of whiskey a month. We're going to turn this person into an obnoxious alcoholic.
Yeah.
You're going to want to get into cigars. Maybe a monthly cigar subscription.
Mm-hmm. And you got to start listening to classic rock.
Ooh, or classical music.
Well, yeah, again, we're mixing up sensibilities in terms of what we want to make this guy into.
The ideal man, Adrian. Everything.
Mm.
They've got to be an expert all around.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
No, I guess that kind of leads back to the original point of, like, you really have to define what ideal means to you to get specific advice. Otherwise, just, like, self-improvement? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that. You gave us nothing to work with. I don't really have much to tell you.
All right, let's see what Chris Gayamali's answer is. Hey, Butterfly45. One of the most confusing things about being a guy is that there aren't very many useful resources for us to help us figure our shit out. I feel like there's a lot of content on becoming a more ideal man. I already disagree with sentence number one.
You mean the manosphere?
I feel like that's 90% of the internet is people telling you how to be a man. When I was in college, I remember trying all sorts of wacky stuff in a doofy attempt to get abs like Brad Pitt in Fight Club, the poster of which had a 93% chance of hanging in any random guy's dorm room at the time. I stopped eating meat. I'd go to the gym and do like 200 crunches and little else. I even shoplifted hydroxycut fat burning pills from CVS, which at their most benign ended up making me feel dizzy when I'd take them, and at their worst are dangerous. All this because the reptilian part of my brain was convinced that a six-pack would make me considerably more boneable to the girls I had a crush on. I wish I had the vocabulary back then to express it, but what I was experiencing was a pervasive form of body dysmorphia, which took years to unlearn. Truth is, even harder for young men today to work on themselves, let alone find a safe community with whom to be vulnerable about it. If you search something as innocent as best abs routine for men on YouTube, the algorithm will quickly serve you a flotsam of clips of Andrew Tate, a self-professed alpha who is actually one of the corniest humans alive, a totally swagless individual, and despite upholding anachronistic ideas of manhood, someone who actually kind of sucks at fighting. But well, he was a professional fighter. I'm sure we could say also a lot of bad things about Andrew Tate. I'm sure he's a better fighter than most people.
We're letting presumably a white guy call a black guy swagless.
But Tate's conclusions that men needed to be domineering, infallible, dismissive of the people around them, insulting to women, while deeply misogynistic, are rooted in an old Hollywood form of masculinity, albeit one that is as deep as a puddle. As a scholar and author, Robert Lawson has put it, on some level, I understand Tate's appeal. He's a cartoony avatar of manhood in an ecosystem bereft of good examples worth learning from. I'll cut in here just to say the part about, like, just searching the most innocent thing about a workout routine and getting back the most obnoxious people is so true.
Mm-hmm.
Just the first time I remember trying to, like, look up a lifting routine on Reddit, and it was just, like, you go to that subreddit and it's like just these people writing in the most obnoxious terms about being a warrior and never letting yourself fail. And it's like, okay, calm down. Just tell me the reps and sets. I don't need any of this. Yeah. Like, I'm a lifestyle guru who's going to teach you how to be strong enough to achieve your goal.
Yeah. The first time I looked up a workout routine, I got into this really heated argument about whether or not the week starts on Sunday or Monday with a dude.
I think people might know about this conversation.
And they agree with me?
Yeah, mostly. They think both people are cool dudes.
No, I remember there was an article that came out recently. I can't remember if it was academic or, like, news article, but if you set your gender to male on TikTok, on average, it takes, like, 10 videos before it starts serving you right-wing manosphere stuff.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was insane, yeah.
Okay, yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of writing here. So I'm going to just kind of skip through to the different sections.
Is this how you read the books that you recommend on Pod? Yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of words here.
Do you want me to read the whole thing?
No, mine's also long. I'm going to have to summarize.
Understand that there's no such thing as an ideal anyone. He's kind of going into that. And stop focusing on trying to look better. I don't actually think the original question specified looks. I really think that's something both me and you and this question answerer.
You just said glow up. Yeah.
We assumed that's what the person meant, but didn't go back and reread it and go, oh, that was an assumption. That wasn't actually explicitly written in the question.
It's actually not written by a butterfly. It's written by a firefly who's figuring out how to glow up.
Okay, section number one. Where to start? Kindness goes a long way. When I read your question, I went over to our bookshelf and plucked out Glenn O'Brien's How to Be a Man, as funny and useful a treatise on masculinity as there ever was. Glenn was maybe the coolest motherfucker to ever do it. His CV is too long to go through in its entirety here, but in brief, he basically ran downtown NYC in the 80s with Basquiat and Warhol, launched Interview Magazine, hosted a cult public access show called TV Party, and spent his last two decades writing the Style Guy column for GQ, where I was an editor for 9 years. Unimpeachable style. The guy carried himself with singular wit and charm. He dated Grace Jones.
And I really, if that's what separates Ted Danson's character is based on in Bored to Death.
Interesting. And really, what separates all the cool hot people from all the merely hot people, important distinction, you want to be in the former, is kindness, which is as good a place as any to start, as Glenn writes in How to Be a Man. It is an excellent tactic to be unfailingly polite. If you are cheerful, solicitous, and appear kind and attentive, you will be welcome almost everywhere. Strangers will believe that you like them. Your enemies will be thwarted, even disarmed by the relentless good vibrations you transmit. There's this one time when I was at GQ where Bella Hadid went around the set before a photo shoot and introduced herself to everyone. From the creative director to the production assistants, with a hug and unfailing eye contact, making it a point to remember everyone's name. She could have very easily not done so, as she is Bella Hadid, but the act of kindness was reifying. Okay, so he keeps going on about kindness. In order to understand your sense of self, you have to first see yourself refracted through other people. You don't even really exist without the other. So it's up to you to make the people you come across feel heard, appreciated, and respected, and they in turn help you see yourself. If you laugh at their jokes and can tactfully needle them, all the better. Section 2, mental health and physical health work in concert. Even a decade ago, there was this quasi-expectation that men shouldn't talk about their feelings, that we should man up, which is a hilarious and terrible phrase. This is starting to change in very tangible ways. Now you see everyone from Bowen Yang to Tom Holland talking openly about the life-changing magic of a good therapist. Get one if you can afford it. These days, it's normal and maybe even cool to have a gratitude practice.
Is Bowen Yang to Tom Holland the man spectrum?
Yeah, it's not that I don't agree with these people, but man, does this sort of rhetoric about like manhood and being nice to your friends sometimes, like, I get why it's important, but sometimes it just, like, I feel like we talk about it too much as a society. I feel like, I don't know, maybe people still need to hear it, and there's people who don't feel that way, so it's a good message to put out there. But do you ever feel like, I just don't care anymore? Like, of the problems in the world, that's got to be like number 6,000.
Okay.
I feel like there's almost a weirdly big emphasis on it for like...
This is why you hated everything everywhere all at once.
Yada, yada, yada. Exercising is not a panacea, but it's a good companion to a mental health routine. Moving your body with some regularity has a plethora of physical benefits, yes, but it's also the Trojan horse to improving your mental health, reducing anxiety, depression, and improving self-esteem and cognitive function, all of which can contribute to that glow-up you seek. Okay, moving on to the next section, introduce yourself to new perspectives. This is a no-brainer, but reading, especially fiction, is the easiest way to step outside of your body and develop perspective. If you want to be hot, a healthy perspective is essential. Reading expands your imagination and unconsciously equips you with tools to deal with all the bullshit that life hurls at you. Never mind all those goofily designed surveys for straights that came out recently suggesting that women find reading to be the most attractive male hobby. Do it because it grounds you. Give your soul structure. Subtract 30 minutes from your daily screen time before bed, and you'll sleep so much better. I'm not big on personal heroes, but I think if you were to attach aspirations to anyone, literary heroes are a slightly safer bet, but even then, see, a certain Harry Potter author. Study their worldview. Learning how to appreciate how someone else thinks, where you agree and disagree, rather than how you look, will do wonders for developing your worldview and confidence. You don't have to start with Dostoevsky, but the dude is a pretty good one to spend some time with.
Whoa, red flag literary alert.
Get your hygiene right. I know this might read as trite Queer Eye 101 stuff, but in order to sparkle, you have to first present yourself as a tidy person. There's no way around it, unfortunately. Brush your teeth twice a day, floss every night, use non-alcoholic mouthwash, as the strong stuff might be bad for you, and get yourself a good deodorant. Okay, he goes on for about that. And lastly, here's the secret to quickly tipping without a calculator. Simply double the first number of the total bill, i.e. if it's a $40 check, tip $8. If it's $45, round up first, so $10. If the bill is over $100, double the first two digits, etc. Good luck. It's ruthless out there.
I like how it ended with dad advice about leaving tips.
All good advice.
From what I heard, it was pretty all right. I still love the idea of our man spectrum being Bo and Yang and Tom Holland. yeah.
Are you just angry a Guatemalan man wasn't in the spectrum?
What, you mean twink Asian man to twink white man? That's our spectrum?
If Bone isn't a twink, Bone's got some heft. Oh, you wanted a strong guy. You wanted to the Rock.
That also helps with the color too, yeah. Polynesian, somewhat black. I can't remember. Is the
you're right.
Rock
identified
black?
Neither of those people are my heroes.
This y'all hero?
Tom Holland seems all right. Bowen seems like a little bit obnoxious.
Oh, I like Bowen. Bowen seems cool. I'd get a drink with Bowen.
You'd get a drink with Bowen.
Mm-hmm. Why are you pronouncing it so fast? Like it's bone.
Bone.
Bone. I think in general, when you don't really get enough info in the question, I guess if that's your go-to advice, it's pretty good.
If you don't have a specific reason to go see a therapist, don't go pay for a therapist. Unless you have like a very specific obstacle you're working through. I think
don't see a therapist.
Yeah, don't see a therapist unless you're like, I always sabotage my relationships, or I always get angry at this. But like, unless you have like a hurdle where you're like, this is a problem for me, I need to get over this generic, like, just see a therapist for generic life stuff. It's like, no, don't. Like, that's, what are you doing?
You're worried about bothering the therapist?
I guess I'm worried about people, like, I don't know, throwing away their money for what seems like very little value. I don't think go to therapy should be as generic of advice as we have started treating it as a society. It should be if somebody tells you, like, when people are rude to me, I spend hours and hours thinking about it and can't get over it. Then it's like, go to therapy. You should be able to work through that. But if somebody's just like, I'm just trying to improve myself a little, go to therapy should not be the generic advice. It's like, no, save your money. Don't go to therapy in that situation. Work on yourself.
I was going to say, for it starting with a biography, I'd be surprised that there weren't more biographies listed as part of his, like, if you're going to read, you should also read about other cool guys or guys you think are cool.
I do think that first guy he mentioned, who I didn't know about, but I guess Ted Danson, you said, was based off of him.
It sounded like him. I don't know if that is the truth. Yeah. I mean, the magazine they're at is very obviously GQ. Yeah.
I do think trying to model yourself over one of those, like, kind of classic old school guys is...
like Jadena.
A very quick way to land into cringe territory.
I model myself after Gaddafi, and I think it works pretty well.
I always wondered why you had a golden desert eagle on you at all times.
Hey, llama and the desert eagle. Guess I'm living up to my stereotype.
He did look like he dressed comfy.
Yeah.
Oh, some of the comments are funny. I would also add getting a $100 plus haircut from someone who's comfortable working with whatever you think would look good on me. Buy all the products they recommend and use them all the way they teach you. Incredible how much an instant difference that can make. What is this, a blog
this
for rich people
fucking,
who want to throw away their money?
I mean, that's kind of when I was making the jokes about the subscription boxes. I was like, if this is your biggest issue that you're writing into, I mean, obviously, you're doing all right in life. But I love how this person's thing is just like, go to like a hair salon where like famously they're trying to upsell you on the 10 products that they sell or whatever that are way too expensive there.
Also, go into one of those stupid little boutiques with 10 shirts and buy everything that the clerk tells you looks good on you.
That the young female person working in the front says looks good on you and super cute.
Like, what is this advice to go into one of those corny ass salons and just pay a ton of money?
Hey, a little bit of coconut oil, take you where you need to go. Cool. All right, you want to do my call?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so I'm doing from Extra Magazine. We've done this advice column before. This is Ask Kai, advice for the apocalypse. Kai is a trans woman who gives advice to a lot of gender nonconforming people, and this one is no different. My boyfriend can't accept my body hair. Is it time to break up? All right, here we go. Kai, I think I might have to break up with my boyfriend for the most frustrating reason ever. He can't stand my body hair. I'm a trans woman, and when we met 2 years ago, I was very binary identified. I was extremely anxious about being stereotypically pretty and passing, and I spent hours every day on my makeup, grooming, and general appearance. I followed a super strict diet and workout routine, and I obsessed over every single little thing I ate or wore or did. My boyfriend was really into my appearance, and I liked the validation. Now, though, I feel like I'm finally coming into my own, and I can't be bothered as much. I'm not totally letting myself go, but I'm not going super femme every day either. I like being casual, and I honestly kind of enjoy an androgynous look. I consider myself non-binary to a certain extent, and my outlook has really been changed by non-binary style icons. I recently started to experiment by letting my body hair grow out. I've never been that hairy to begin with, but I used to wax my arms and legs constantly. Now I don't, and it's noticeable. My boyfriend says that it's weird and grosses him out because he's straight and not into hairy dudes, quote-unquote, which I find pretty hurtful because I'm not a dude.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, even if you were gonna make that point, why would you make it in the most hurtful way possible of throwing in the wrong gender into the comment? Jesus.
You wanna let me finish this question?
You know, as an ally, I was just wowed by how insensitive.
We're allowed to do that during the answers. We're not allowed to do that during the questions.
Can we just acknowledge what an ally I am, please? Can everybody, maybe a hand? Okay.
Acknowledge
we get a hand going
me.
For me? Okay.
Paul just sprayed silver paint on his mouth and said, acknowledge me. I'm honestly surprised because he's been pretty good with me being trans up until now, and he can be really nice. Then again, I know I can't force him to be into something he's not. Do I break up with him? Fuzzy and fed up.
Didn't you skip the, he says he has a hard time having sex with me?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He says he has a hard time having sex with me and being seen in, well, yeah, that was after you interrupted me, which I find pretty hurtful because I'm not a dude. He says he has a hard time having sex with me and being seen in public with me unless I've shaved. Is that shitty or what? I'm honestly surprised because he's been pretty good with me up until now, being trans, and he's really nice usually. I can't force him to be into something he's not. Do I break up with him? Fuzzy and fed up.
Whew.
I mean, this question could also just be about, I feel like a lot of younger people I've seen now don't really shave.
I'm scrolling back to see how long they've been together. 2 years ago. Okay, that's long enough that, I mean, if he'd said that thing about, like, hairy dude early on, that's like,
that's
break up
flag.
Immediately. Yeah, that's like, 2 years in, it's like, ooh, that's really mean, and I feel like you do have to get
him
to acknowledge how mean that is.
Well, it depends if you're my old roommate who died on the hill of dude is gender neutral and my trans coworker needs to stop being so sensitive.
Yeah, and that's stupid. Sometimes I can see the argument when people are like, guys, for plural, can incorporate a whole room, like, hey, guys, let's, you know, but if you're calling somebody as an individual dude, that's, I don't know. I can see where it feels targeted. And in this case, after Harry, yeah, that's a little bit targeted to be hurtful.
You don't do the,
that's not, hey, dude, what's up? That's Harry, dude. Like,
yeah. The argument that I've heard online is then you ask the person, well, how many dudes have you fucked? And if they're a straight guy, they'll usually be like, zero. And they'll be like, I thought it was gender neutral. You're a virgin? Blue duckton. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a good ally. Yeah, I didn't take that argument. I just did the argument of like, well, if they don't want to be called that, maybe just call them by their name.
A really hurtful comment, not worth maybe throwing a relationship away over, but you do gotta get him to acknowledge how, like, if he can't come around to, like, acknowledging that he shouldn't say stuff like that, then maybe that's a reason. If when things have cooled down from the argument, you can't get him to be like, oh yeah, that was really fucked up, then maybe that's a reason to be like, oh, they're going to always throw something that hurtful in my face in the moment and it's not worth it. It does seem like you two just have different ideas of who you are. And maybe that means the relationship is kind of at an ending point.
Does any of this solve the hair situation, though?
It's not wrong for the relationship to end if that is something you can't get over. But yeah, I mean, I think that's an honest reason. There's those relationships where people have been married for like a decade and then one of them realizes they're trans and it's like, neither person is at fault, but it's not wrong to break up because the other person is now identifying differently. In fact, you're probably just hurting yourself and Zone by forcing something where neither of you is, you're interested in being a new person and he's interested in dating somebody femme. I don't know.
I mean, we haven't done any of these questions before, but it's not too different. And excuse the clumsiness of the metaphor, but the, I dated someone for 5 years and they've gained a lot of weight recently and now I don't, not attracted to them. It's not too dissimilar from that. This person was very binary trans before and now is more non-binary. Yeah, you could just find someone who likes you better when you're, yeah, who likes you better now. Yeah, I think my, my ex in high school used to shave her arms, which is why I feel like I noticed it a lot more when, more women started not shaving their arms. It's not something I asked to do, but it, I think her friends peer pressured her into doing it.
Hmm. I feel like we've brought in extra. Was it this exact column?
Yeah, I think it's the only column that they that does advice on extra. Yeah, we did the my roommate called me abusive for not cleaning up the dishes or whatever.
Oh, that was a good one. That one was fun.
Not like this one. This one's not fun.
This one feels like a relationship is just coming to a natural end, and it's a little sad.
Well, I guess you could go back to being binary trans if you want to do that.
Yeah, but right, the typical advice is that never works. If you feel like you have to change yourself for the person, usually that
I think your partner's right. Resent. I think this non-binary thing's a phase. You're going to grow out of it, so you should just go back to the way you were when I met you.
I mean, maybe it will be. It sounds like this person's okay with playing with their gender. Like, in 2 years' time, they might want to identify as more femme, but maybe that just means you need to be with somebody who will be okay with you going through phases of more and less femme.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you is the answer don't break up with him, let him break up with you when he realizes this is something he doesn't need to?
Well, I think
unless you're like one of those people who's really into like I've only ever broken up with people I've never been broken up with, in which case keep your streak going, keep going, girl.
I think that's definitely an option, but right, this is an advice column and we're trying to help people's lives. I think if you want to take the most like mature, self-actualizing route, it's to have a conversation about it and come to terms with where you both are with like your desires to change and to have a femme from the question asker's part to change how you present a little bit and from his perspective to have a femme girlfriend and probably lead that conversation to the point where you realize it's not a good idea to be together. Unless he goes, okay, you know what? I've thought about it more and that was unreasonable. And I need, like, maybe the conversation does end with him reconsidering his own notions of who he needs to, how you need to present to be his partner.
Mm.
But it seems maybe unlikely with how he's speaking.
If you want to be my partner, you got to get with
you gotta
shaved
be
legs.
Okay with my, you got to be okay with my shaved legs.
Oh, I was doing it from the boyfriend's perspective, not from the, okay, yeah. Didn't say they dated 2 years, it says that they met 2 years ago.
I'm gonna take it as at least, like, I don't know how long they were dating, but that was the start of the relationship with
probably
when they
like
met.
1 year, 345 days. That's okay. Over a year, never mind. alright, yeah, do you want to just hear what Kai has to say about this, or do you have any other, goof-em-ups or ideas about this?
Apple VR. He straps it on and it makes you look femme to him. Oh, but I guess that wouldn't work because he wants you to present a certain way for the world too, so that he looks straight as hell.
Yeah, that's a pretty hard part of it. Yeah, that's shitty.
Yeah, that's what makes me think that maybe he doesn't even have a problem with it. It's about how he thinks people will perceive him, which might mean that there is like a perspective switch that could save the relationship, but nah, I don't know. Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it sounds like when they were going super binary, it seems like they were putting a lot of work into it. See, I can see why they felt the inclination to go more gender fluid. All right, do you want to hear what Kai has to say about this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, dear FFU, your body, your rules. It seems like you might already know this, but for the sake of emphasis and for all our readers out there, let me just reaffirm, body hair is beautiful. There is nothing wrong or shameful about being a trans woman, a cis woman, non-binary, or any other gender with body hair. For decades, feminists of various stripes have fought for the right to have body hair, which is to say, the right to have a human body, doing something that most adult human bodies naturally do. and not be shamed for it. I believe that trans people, and perhaps particularly non-binary people, are especially implicated in this struggle because our bodies have long been the site of intense cultural warfare. At the heart of the battle lies a single central question that goes much deeper than the strands of keratin that grow out of our skin, and that is, what kinds of bodies deserve to be loved? It's a very Bell Hooks thing. This history of culturally enforced body hair removal for women has evolved over time and only reached its current peak relatively recently, as trans writer Frankie de la Cretaz notes in their fantastic essay on learning to love my body hair in transition. Despite the fact that hairlessness as a marker of true femininity has become so ingrained in the dominant culture that many people barely question it and can get quite offended if others do, Cretaz points out the norm of shaving leg and underarm hair was largely created by the beauty industry to sell products in the first half of the 20th century. While women's facial hair and neck hair have been targeted for removal for longer, it's worth noting that the standard by which socially acceptable femininity is measured in terms of hair has changed over time based on the will of capitalism and arbitrary ideas about gender. This standard is particularly pronounced for trans people whose bodies are hyper-scrutinized and scapegoated for mainstream society's gender insecurities. That is to say, FFU, social reactions to our body hair are generally not a reflection of our gender or our worth. They are a reflection of others, usually cis people's, unresolved hang-ups about themselves and their own bodies. As a trans woman who primarily dates straight-identified men, I've noticed that many straight men have a particularly strong reaction to other people's body hair. The very idea of an intimate encounter, whether sexual or non-sexual, with a hairy person can provoke enormous anxiety and inner turmoil in a straight man, causing them to doubt their sexuality and sense of self. Among straight men who find themselves attracted to trans women and trans feminine people, the anxiety can take the form of intense pressure on their partners to perfectly embody the image of hairless, silky smooth femininity. What is all this about, FFU? I suspect that it is about such men's internalized fear and shame about their sexualities. All their lives, they have been taught that their social status and even safety among other men is reliant upon certain sexual and gender norms. To them, being attracted to trans people at all is already a terrifying transgression. To be intimate with a person whose body is not only trans, but also rejects feminine norms by, oh, crime of crimes, being hairy, may simply be frightening, too frightening to bear. Of course, FFU, some might argue that preferences are preferences, and people are within their rights to desire or decline a hairy partner without being psychoanalyzed. Indeed, there is some truth to this, though I must admit that I am rather skeptical in cases like yours, where a person you've already been dating and presumably had some form of physical intimacy with for 2 years is suddenly disgusted by you because of a little arm or leg hair. There's a clear distinction between simple preference and a reaction of denigration and disgust that shames your body and misgenders you, FFU, and an important boundary for your boyfriend to understand is that whatever personal emotional triggers he has about your body hair are his to work out. It might be fair for him to tell you that he finds himself most attracted to hairlessness, though this should be done with sensitivity and respect for the 2 years of your relationship, but it's not at all okay for him to say that you gross him out, or call/compare you to a dude when he knows you identify as female. Do you need to break up with him, FFU? I think that depends on whether he has other redeeming qualities, which I must say you haven't mentioned in this letter. Ooh, slam. And how willing he is to take responsibility. It really is, like, she was like, he has the capacity to be nice. Everyone starts from where they are, and we've all inherited some oppressive gender ideas, but how willing is he to question those and explore them? When I say question, I mean literal questions, such as, what did he learn about gender and body hair growing up, and where did those lessons come from? What impact does he think his preferences and the way he expresses them have on you? And is your relationship important enough to him to do some self-reflection and get over himself? Or is something as surface level as body hair going to be an insurmountable barrier for him? Here I want to reiterate, questions about beauty and body hair are questions about bodies and love. My favorite writer on this subject is non-binary poet Alok Ved Menon, who writes about their own body hair. They see dirty, I see magnificence. My body hair is cursive written across my body, a love letter to you and me. It is my infinity. My body is so beautiful that beauty, it spills out of me. In Alok's words, I hear the strength and resilience of generations of trans feminine people fighting for the right to be loved as we are. Do not give in to anyone else's shame, FFU, your boyfriend's or anyone else's. When people who desire us feel shame, it comes from a place of fear. You're not responsible for their fear. Let them figure that out for themselves. You only have to keep on letting your body be what it wants to be. Magnificent, growing, a letter of acceptance and devotion to yourself.
That was beautifully written. I like that.
Yeah, Kai's always good. You didn't mention any non-binary poets in your answer. Who's your favorite non-binary poet?
Boy,
And not Lil Uzi Vert.
Why not? Oh, you think black bodies can't be non-binary poets?
Now you're just using Kai speak. You're literally just like you're like skimming the page looking for buzzwords. All right, cool. Third Sager, did you have anything else to say about that? She didn't really give a really strong answer on whether or not to break up with him, but
I think it kind of landed where we were. You have to have that tough conversation, or like you said, just you can always wait out this type of shit and see how it plays out. Do what you want and see how they react.
Go on a sex strike.
I think interrogating Shave, it but go with on your a sex partner strike. And trying to either figure out if they're going to be okay with it or learn to grow themselves. Or if the relationship needs to end, it's probably the mature route.
Why are you ignoring my sex strike idea?
Shout out to everybody who does a sex strike. That's definitely a real thing that will definitely work at some point for people.
Yeah.
Dude, it's such a ridiculous idea. Might as well tell my friends that I'm having a strike from hanging out until they all change their views on Israel-Palestine. Like, I don't know.
All right. Well, do you want to explain this third segment?
Sure. Adrian has coalesced some articles for us about logo changes, so we're doing before and after. What was better, the old logo or the new logo? And I guess it actually, one of the article calls it rebrands, so it's not just logos but maybe holistic rebrands as well.
Yeah, I thought we were gonna focus on the sports one, but if you want to do both, we could get them done pretty quick.
Yeah, your choice.
Let's do the sports one first. That one's more fun. I doubt it's gonna have any soccer ones, which I have strong opinions about, but you know, these are about sports logo changes. In general, the way that it works in soccer is that they've become mainly overly minimal, and they've taken out a lot of like the really cool historical aspects to make them kind of almost look like you were saying earlier, like app icons. I don't know if that's how it's happened in American sports, but let's check it out. We got 23 logo updates that were downgrades from Thunder Dungeon. All right, Paul, number one, your favorite hockey team? The Florida Panthers.
This one already doesn't matter because they're a hockey team in Florida. Come on now. What is this? The start of a joke?
Yeah. So the original logo, it's less of a badge. They changed it to be more of a badge. So it used to be like a jumping out at you jaguar or panther with a broken hockey stick in its claws. And now it's just a very like boring, almost like a soccer crest where it's just a badge that says Florida with a, you know, panther on the thing. A huge downgrade. Yeah. Although I will say, the logo before, I don't know if it really works aggressive. As a logo.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's fine. It's a sports thing, but it's not like a little polo, man. It's a little hard to, like, I could see how that would be difficult to read from across the room.
I will also say I don't love the, like, vignette of it. Like, I don't like the shape, the shadow it casts. It's like almost like a diamond in the old version. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, I think the shape should also kind of be recognizable on a logo that it, has, and it's an odd one.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about the Polo Man thing. Like, it's definitely, like, I can see what they wanted to do, but they did make it way less badass.
Yeah. Also, it's got a weird perspective thing. Whenever you try to draw, like, somebody's hands in front of them, the hands look too big, you know? And so this is, like, a jaguar leaping at you, so it's, like, claws are really close in perspective.
In the foreground,
so it's like,
yeah,
it's a odd one.
But it also kind of looks like a panther with tiny legs.
But it was probably a downgrade, but it wasn't great to begin with.
All right. You can skip the second one. I don't know who this is.
I think that's like the Portland Trail Blazers, but that looks like an H from before. So, yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
Number three.
Okay. Florida Marlins. Massive downgrade. It went from like an F with a Marlin wrapped around it. And it's a sort of realistic drawing. It's like maybe clip art.
Cartoony. Yeah. But now they've gone abstract, is what a lot of them do.
Yeah, now it looks like a Nike checkmark with a really gross orange color on, like, a very sharp M. I guess maybe it's Miami? What was the F to the M?
Probably, yeah. Or either that or Marlins, yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible. Yeah, huge downgrade. Nasty. The other one's definitely better. I wouldn't want to wear that second logo on anything. On a hat, on a shirt, on a ball. Nah, the old one's cool.
It looks like it looks like a company logo. Nothing about it even says sports.
All right. The next one is the Utah Hockey Club. A little bit like the Panthers. It went from not really a badge. I think what they, I think there's the transition to like an actual badge, because before it's a really cool wolf that's playing hockey, but like it's not really a badge. It's kind of just a cartoon. it's like a posed cartoon picture. So I can see what the issue was with the one before, but the colors are cool. It's like got a hockey uniform and like a maroon shirt with a moon on it. It looks cool as fuck. It's got like some kind of like tribal designs a little bit going on.
I was
going
to say there's something about it that looks like a tribe's sort of,
and then
art, like tribal art. Yeah.
They switched that out for just a very plain hockey Utah club, light blue on
no
dark
drawing.
Blue and white. Yeah, nothing. Literally just the words. So, yeah. Insane downgrade, but I would wear that on a shirt. It's not a good badge, though, the old one, though.
Oh, my gosh. The next one, though, is got to be probably, like, number one with a gun, sort of, like, biggest Ooh. Downgrade ever. We have the Utah Jazz, which went from, like, a really sick logo where it's, what mountains are in Utah?
The Rockies?
The Rockies in purple behind the word Jazz, which is like half purple, half blue, purple basketball, below it turning into the Rockies. The font for Jazz looks sick. And they just changed it to a flat icon of a basketball with a like, what's that? Like the song symbol coming out
yeah,
of the basketball?
Note. It turns into a little music
note. A music
note.
Note.
Quarter
it's
note
horrible. It looks like something somebody made in not even like professional software. Like they didn't make this an Illustrator. They made it in PowerPoint in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That looks like a middle schooler's project for their middle school's new logo. Like what the hell did they turn that into?
I will say the ring in the old logo, I don't like the purple on that color. That could have just been white or something. But other than that, yeah, the old logo rocks. I assume if Pierce was here, he'd tell me about how the Jazz were originally like a franchise from New Orleans, and that's why they're called the Jazz, and then they moved to Utah.
Oh,
but
oh
that's
yeah,
why
the J
Lakers
is
the
kind of the J is kind of a saxophone a little bit. I don't know if that's on purpose or I'm imagining that.
Yeah, but yeah, really, that's a huge downgrade. I think if I've seen this in real life before, I must have made note. Wow, that's a shitty ass logo. It's so thick. The note thing is so thick. It's it just doesn't look good.
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We got the Burbs. We got the Burbs. The Philadelphia Eagles. We have their new logo and their old logo. Their old logo kind of looks like an enamel pin, like kind of has like a pin that you would put on a jacket. It's a big green bird holding a football in its talons. It's cooler. I think the new logo is actually not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I would tend to agree with you. This is one where it's maybe
it's less
the...
cool.
It's less cool, but maybe
it's infinitely more readable.
I see why somebody would go, like, we want something that can more easily go on any design and be more readable from far away. I can see the logic to this one a little bit better.
Yeah, and they didn't go full badge. It's just the head of an eagle, but it still looks pretty cool.
They didn't just change it to Philadelphia Eagles in a regular font written in a circle. They kept some personality.
EST 1994.
Next up, we have one where I think it might be the first upgrade. We got the Washington Wizards, and
no,
the old
what are you
logo,
talking about?
You like the old wizard?
The old one looks like a Gennady Tartakovsky like fucking show. That looks awesome. They got like the moon with the basketball. That's kind of rad. He's doing a little magic spell on the ball. That's kind of cool.
There's something about it.
The colors are very muted.
I feel like they could have maybe cut the difference and kept the image of the man somewhere in there, but I don't know. There's something about it that looks a little dweeby.
But
also,
what do you like about the new one?
I like the colors, I guess. I think it has a nice, I think it has like a nice stamp. Also kind of gets across like Washington, the capital, we're red, white, and blue.
Yeah, we got the Washington Monument there. I don't love it. I like the old one better. The old one's cool. It is... Again, not a, like a good perfect circle or anything like that. It's very broad, and it's weirdly like pale, but like, and it has two basketballs, which is kind of a lot. Maybe you don't need the crescent moon basketball if he's also holding a basketball.
And he's shooting, I don't know, like energy out of his other hand. That's pretty rad.
That's cool. All right, the next one is the cover photo. It's the Miami Dolphins. Very slight tweak. It went from having a more cartoony dolphin with a helmet on and the sun behind him to a more pastel loose watercolor, I guess, not even watercolor, dolphin with a pretty similar, the sun design's definitely better. I like that they
alternated
it instead of making it look like a gear.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The first one does look like a gear. I like the first one more because it looks like a sports team. The second one, you could be like, oh, they sell insurance. The second one could be a life insurance logo. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that the first one, the dolphin looks mean. It looks ready to tackle you. And it's got a helmet on, so he's good to go. Second one, that could be anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
That could be a seafood
restaurant.
It's
just like a lost personality.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want that?
I mean, I think that's the theme of most of these, is that they downgrade the personality.
The next one is Walgreens. And another one where I'm going to say, I think I like the new Walgreens logo more. I can't even describe. What is that?
It's a sports team. It's got to be like the Washington Commanders or something. I don't know. But it's definitely not Walgreens, the sports team. Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we have another one that's almost exactly like the Utah Jazz downgrade. The Detroit Pistons. Which, I don't love the colors of the previous one, but it's so much cooler in that they were actually going for something, at least.
It's got a horse with the mane of fire.
Fire. And piston is like, it looks like the pistons of a car, like, wrapping around the S's.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I guess, like, fading into the background.
It's very definitively a badge.
And then the new one is just Detroit Pistons in a boring circular basketball. It looks like nothing. Another one where somebody could have made it in PowerPoint. It looks like a middle school could have that logo. Like, what the hell? Yeah. Why?
The original one is it's like the quintessential, I wouldn't wear it, but someone with a more daring style than me could pull that off and it would look cool. I don't really get what the colors were supposed to be, but it looks cool.
Aesthetically, to me, it's not great, but at least it was bold and interesting. But yeah, not exactly my sort of thing.
All right. Let's see if we get any, big comments from Pierce on this one. The old New England Patriots logo. So it used to just be a guy dressed as a Revolutionary War dude hiking a football. Now it's what's on the side of their helmet, which is just like the weird stone face with a cap on. That's a red, white, and blue. I'm going to be honest. I don't like either of these. I think they're both bad.
The first one has the issue of, like, it doesn't even feel like a logo. Like, it's too much, like, a weird shape.
Yeah, it looks like it should be
really
on the,
imagine.
What's the Cracker Jack boxes?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know exactly how you would, like, place that on merch or really much of anything other than, I don't know how you'd paint that on a field. I assume they never even tried.
I don't know how you put that on your helmet or your jersey. I don't like it. I don't like either.
Oh. The next one is one where I really don't like the old one because it looks like somebody just used a Photoshop filter on a pirate
on
or
Antonio
the Buccaneers.
Banderas.
So the old logo for the Buccaneers, I guess, was like just a imagine the change Obama poster. But yeah, if it was like on a picture of an old pirate and it was red and orange instead of blue and red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. That man's a little too sultry. He's. I don't like his wink. He feels like he's going to steal my girlfriend. I don't care for that much.
Yeah, that's true. He likes fencing.
And the new logo is like a pirate's flag on the tip of a sword. The Buccaneers
Which
logo.
Doesn't
I'm sure y'all
really
know it.
Make sense.
I'm getting the team right. This is Buccaneers, right?
Tampa.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say downgrade and fuckability. Better logo, though.
Yeah. I like the first one was too realistic. Like, you don't want your logo to actually be like a picture of a guy's face, just with the colors edited.
Yeah, what did their mascot look like? Did they just have to find a hot guy? Yeah, not a huge downgrade. Oh, okay, here we go. I know about this one because of Battle Rap. The Toronto Raptors, another one where they took out the actual animal. So, now it's a black with a red basketball with like the talon marks of like it being scratched by a velociraptor. The old one had a full-on velociraptor dribbling a basketball in a basketball uniform with its talons sticking out of its basketball boots with like, yeah, purple and black and gray. And like, honestly, the color palette's not great, but it's not
terrible.
I could
see this being like people in Toronto really like their vintage merch. I would look for like old jackets with that logo on it. It seems like I don't know.
That's
I like
cool.
it.
It's way better. The new one doesn't improve anything. That's the issue with that one.
The Anaheim Ducks, the hockey team. This one's a clear downgrade. Previously, we had like the the goalie mask, like, but it has like a duck's bill built into it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty thick, and two hockey sticks crossed behind it. And it became something I cannot identify. Do you know what that is? Like a...
It's a D.
It looks like a...
A D for ducks.
The letter
that's
D?
That's like in the shape of like a web foot.
Oh. I don't care for it. It doesn't really make sense to me.
Frankly, and, I don't care much for it.
Yeah. Clearly when it was the hockey mask, it was way cooler. Yeah.
They made it more minimalist, but still gross and bad.
Still too much detail somehow in the minimalism. Where the previous one was kind of minimalist in a tasteful way.
Yeah, there was no reason to change that. That last one rocked. Oh, and now we got the Washington Commanders. Oh boy.
Well, back when they were the, say it.
Spears? Spear and feathers?
Yeah.
Based on the old logo. The old logo is a Native American spear and feathers. Yeah. I guess when you change the name, you have to change the logo, right? Like, you're the commander now, so.
Yeah, and the previous one was not that nice a logo anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe
previous one just
Commander
looked like
Clip Art.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the Denver Nuggets. The old one kind of looks like a restaurant logo. That's what I was going to say.
It looks like a Twin Peaks.
There's like a mountain behind the word Denver and then the word Nuggets in really bold letters.
I think this
under
one
it in yellow.
Improved.
And now it's two pickaxes, a silhouette of a mountain, and a basketball.
I think it's better.
I mean, I don't care for either. I think the old one had more personality, so I'll give it to that, but it still wasn't great.
It looked like a chicken fingy restaurant before.
Yeah.
I don't like the new one either, but it's better.
You like the new one more?
Better, yeah. It works as a logo.
I think we're about the same place, but I would tend to the old one.
Okay, all right. Following an old AW. The Winnipeg Jets. Changed from the J being a hockey stick, which if you're going to be a J team that plays hockey, why would you not do that? That's cool. To, it does have a silhouette of a plane, too. It's just kind of in the corner in its own little red
dot. I was
going
to say, it looks like they didn't know where to put it. It looked like a confused person.
And now it's a maple leaf with a jet flying over it with like a compass kind of thing going on.
Neither are great.
Neither are great, but I think you take out the plane from the Jets logo, and I think that original one's pretty cool.
At least the colors are nice. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Winnipeg's kind of hard to read, but I got it. The new logo just is so soulless. It's so gray.
Okay, the Golden State Warriors. The old logo was what looks like a
comic book ninja. The new one.
It looks like a comic book ninja holding up the word Warriors with a basketball behind him as kind of like the emblem shape. And the new one is an emblem of the Golden Gate Bridge. It's like the silhouette of the Golden Gate Bridge in a blue circle, and it says Golden State Warriors around it.
Another hot take from Adrian, the new one's better.
I just don't like that like comic book silhouette, man. It's really indescript, and I'm not 100%. Is that a warrior?
You're talking about, he's a warrior. He follows the same gym schedule that you do.
Yeah, I don't know if I love either. I would say both are pretty low tier.
Really? You don't? You look pretty low testosterone?
low tier.
Oh, low tier. Okay. Yeah, I think the new one's actually pretty nice. I don't have too big of an issue
with it. It's tasteful. Go to the Denver Broncos. This is one where I think it was an upgrade. There was a big bold D, and what? There was a...
That horse is using Hyperbeam. That's so cool.
He is...
Horse, use Hyperbeam. Go.
I don't. Is that what's happening? Is he? I think that's coming out of his nose. Yeah, like that's he's taking a big huff.
Okay.
He's huffing and puffing.
Even cooler.
And
yeah,
now,
he's taking a rip.
I will
from a
say,
big old bong.
A lot of the new logos make the animals completely like unaggressive. I like that the Broncos kept an aggressive look to the horse's face and their
new
logos.
Well, they added
just
an aggressive look.
Yeah. It's just a horse's face, but he looks like he's out to get it, you know? He wants that W.
It looks recognizable. There's nothing really Denver about it, but I don't think the big red D was really helping them out, to be honest. I think it's cool. It's better, for sure. It's better.
Okay, next up we got Adrian's favorite street gang.
The Los Angeles Kings. Is that a team?
I guess.
We're skipping it. Okay, and last one is the Charlotte Hornets. Ooh, this one's close to home. So the old one had the full hornet with a basketball,
very
with the Mickey Mouse gloves. Yeah, with the Charlotte on its chest, Charlotte Hornets up in top and bottom. It has enough, Charlotte and Hornets kind of give it enough of a silhouette that it looks like a badge. The new one is much more angular. It has an angry hornet on the top, and then just says Charlotte Hornets with its stinger sticking out at the bottom and a basketball kind of in the bottom of the after Hornets. The old one's way better.
Yeah, of course.
The old one blows it out of the water, yeah.
That angry hornet dribbling a basketball, I have a shirt where they printed the old logo on it.
Nice. It is and missing like two of design, its legs, yeah. But other than that, it should have two other arms.
Well, they were busy playing basketball, not being bee scientists, Adrian.
It's not a bee, it's a hornet.
Okay, well, they didn't know that because they're not hornet bee scientists.
All right. In general, I think this, if we had done one for soccer too, I think we'd have the same conclusion, which is that sports logos have been mired by the same disease as a lot of other things, like our Taco Bells, like our McDonald's, like our apps. Yeah,
the great flattening of all logos, everything needs to be two colors, it needs to be flat, and it needs to be able to fit in an app icon.
Alright, then are you ready to big fact it, no cap it, get out of here?
Yeah, big fact, no cap. Big fact. If you ever take a before photo, make sure to drink a gallon of milk and use poor lighting so you look even better when you take your after photo.
And my no cap, what do you guys, you know, we have like BC and AD because of the birth of Jesus Christ. What do you guys think the next one's going to be like? What do you think is going to make the next one happen? You guys got any ideas? Put it in the comments. Leave a 5-star review with your ideas. All right. I'll talk to y'all later.
Bye.
This is your best friend, Adrian. Signing off. Bye.